Today, in current events from a Christian perspective, we actually look back in time and then back to the present. In the city of Corinth, sometime during the early church, a Christian cut the face off a statue of a Roman goddess and then carved a cross in its place. While this may seem wrong or inappropriate to literally deface a statue, the implication is actually profound, and it has incredible significance for those in that age and for us today. I'm Matt Odegaard, and this is Church Public. Welcome back to Church Public. Again, I'm your host, Matt Odegaard. Really appreciate you stopping by today. We bring you current events from a Christian perspective to help you live out your faith, because we know, I have been proclaiming that it's going to become harder to live out your faith in this weird and wacky culture that we're in. So I want to give you whatever tool possible to be able to do that as best as you can. As always, grab your Bible, read along with some of the verses. I'll put some verses on the screen for you. You can go back and read the whole chapters or the whole book of the Bible that we reference here today. We've got a couple of good verses coming up, but we look at some of the current events so that you can understand your Christian perspective on life. This one, actually, we go back in time to kind of the early church and then come back to the future or the present as you look at it, and then we'll look at some of those things together. If this is helpful to you, hit the like button. If you want to subscribe to get more of these, to be notified when it comes out, if you want to leave a five-star review, really appreciate that. If you're on the YouTubes, thank you so much. Leave a comment, then leave another comment. Apparently that helps the algo. Anyway, who cares? So if this is helpful and you want to share it with a friend, I appreciate that too. It's a labor of love, and I do it for you so that you can understand how to live out your faith better every single day. You can go to churchpublic.com to support. All right. So let's get into some of this. We're going back in time, and hopefully you can appreciate this, because I was processing this. I saw a post about this earlier this week, and it just sparked some thoughts, some ideas. I kind of bring some things back together from the modern age that we're living in all the way back to the beginning of Christianity. So hopefully this is helpful to you. As I put this picture up earlier, just want to put it up again and look at it. If you are just listening, thank you for listening. I will describe what you're seeing is a marble or stone, probably stone face of a Roman goddess, but the face has been sliced off and in its place is a cross. And you say, well, that's terrible. It's literally defacing a statue, which is likely where the word comes from. But there's more going on here, and I want to get to the more. I think it's important. I think it's important for us to understand that this is not some torch-wielding horde of miscreants like those chased after the beast in Beauty. And this is also not like the current trend of climate cultists defacing the Mona Lisa or other priceless artwork. And for reference, if you're listening, I'll describe some of these. These are a couple of the climate cultists that have defaced modern artwork. This one is Degas. This one is a Van Gogh that they threw a bunch of. I think this one was Soup. None of this makes any sense, but at any rate, and then of course, literally the Mona Lisa, and they, fortunately on the Mona Lisa, there was extra glass layers on top of it, so I believe most of these have not been destroyed, though on the Degas for sure, it said it had some damage to it because it was made mostly of beeswax. There are dozens, if not a couple hundred of these events that have happened in the last few years where they're just angry at artwork, so they take it out on the artwork for the sake of climate. If you can figure out how defacing classical works of art equals saving Mother Earth, man, I would love to hear that theory because my brain, I guess, is too small to understand all of that. So, this is not like that. This is also not like the left's insistence on removing and melting down statues of people they don't like, aka Robert E. Lee, and again, many, many others in that instance. No, this was done by pagans who converted to Christianity and understood that the symbol that you're seeing on your screen. Again, if you're listening, this is the goddess, probably Diana. We don't really know. It could have been actually the Greek goddess Artemis. It's the same, same person, different ages. Anyway, that's a long story I don't want to get into at this point. But the point is, these former pagans understood this symbol, which they once worshipped in a false sense, I have to say, had real spiritual meaning. That's what we're talking about here, and that's the reality of it. I'll give you a verse in a moment to remind you that we are not in a physical battle. We are in a spiritual battle for the soul of you, your family, your community, your nation, the world. And it has a spiritual meaning, but not only a spiritual meaning, it also has physical consequences. And that's what people just don't realize. We get into this place where we think, oh, it's only mental, it's only spiritual, but no, there are physical consequences to this as well. So this image in particular was likely from a cult like Diana, maybe Aphrodite, both of which were full of temple prostitutes and any of the gross sex stuff that you can imagine. So once these pagans converted to Christianity and realized the error of their immorality, they reclaimed the symbol and exchanged the lie for the truth. So they knew that they were in a place full of lies and then finally found the truth in fact, Christ. This is quite literally cutting ties from the demons they used to worship. This was real. This is real. Let's read Ephesians 6:12. So it says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, the authorities, the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is a physical symbol of the real spiritual battle that was, and in fact is, happening all around us. We're currently in a world where certain people look at this and think, how could they deface such a beautiful piece of art? Though apparently some people, like climate activists and others, don't think that. A lot of people still think that. But this is the symptom of a society that has lost touch with religious truth. The society we currently live in puts up a statue of Satan in the state capitol. Remember this one? This is a statue of Satan in the Ohio state capitol. And they think this is, quote-unquote, religious freedom. Without the personal holiness of God and the knowledge of actual truth from God, people are just swayed to and fro with no anchor in reality. You have those that argue that all religions are equal, so they can do whatever they want. I have gone into detail about this. I'll try not to go into too much detail again, but this should be obviously false. It should be obviously false to all of us. For instance, in different religions, the Aztecs sacrificed babies and people, and as a religion, that's not equal to Christianity. The Hindus, certain sects of the Hindus, conscripted young girls into temple for prostitution. This is the problem. Religious equality is not a thing in America, and it's not a thing anywhere else for that matter. Try going to a Muslim country and preaching Christ openly on the streets, and the consequences will be immediate and probably severe. In a similar but more subtle way, we've been lulled into this place of thinking religious neutrality is a thing. It just isn't. There is no religious neutrality. There is no neutrality at all. The actual reality goes back to who is the ultimate authority. There is only one authority. There only can be one authority. There can't be two masters. We have liberals masquerading as Christians or conservatives who claim we just need to get along and, as the old song goes, right, live and let live. But this is not biblical, and it's not a way to govern. It doesn't even make sense from a governing and political standpoint. God is sovereign. God does judge the rulers of the land, whether you want to admit it or not, Isaiah 3:13 through 14. So, we must understand that there is no right to worship Satan from a theological standpoint. Worshiping Satan is inherently wrong. Therefore, it's morally wrong. This is where we have to begin in our view of the law. We have to understand that moral evil and moral behavior can't be right. If something is wrong, it can't be right. But we get to this place where we have politicians, pastors, leaders saying, well, no, it's fine to worship Satan and have a religion of Satan because that's just another religion, and religious freedom means you have to have freedom for every religion. No, it doesn't. And the founders would have laughed at you for saying that. In fact, they might have even put you in jail for saying that. Don't believe me? Go read some of the founders' letters and some of the original constitutions of the states, anti-blasphemy laws of the states, which I believe they all had, at least during the founding in the colonies. Like, they all had these things, and they would have totally understood that you can't worship Satan as a religion. It's not a thing. It's not real. And even non-believers should be able to see this. There's a moral good and there's a moral evil, and they should understand that there's no right to public acceptance of moral wrong. Rights exist to protect those that wish to do good morally and grow human flourishing in society. Rights do not and cannot exist to protect wrong. This, it just literally cannot make sense. if your goal is to do wrong things, you can't have a right to do wrong things. Now, our current society actually believes some of this. They actually try to enshrine into laws the fact that it's okay to do wrong things. But morally, that can't be the case. So we've been talking about this goddess and cutting off the face of this goddess and implanting the face of this goddess with a cross to show that you need to face your sins and face your enemies or deface them as the case may be. And as a side note, this is why the food sacrificed to idols was such a big deal in the early church. Look at this passage from Acts, Acts 15:29. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, hear this part, and from sexual immorality. You would do well to avoid these things. So look, the food is not condemned. The food is not the problem. The next phrase here is about sexual immorality. The reason the food is a problem is that you can eat whatever you want, but don't go to the feast of the goddess, eat the food, and then do all the weird sex stuff. That's the problem, and that's what people were doing in all of these little cities and churches around the Middle East at the time. This may sound obvious to your modern ears. Yeah, obviously you shouldn't go to feasts and do weird sex stuff as a Christian, but I'd also like to point out current things like rappers being arrested for things and prominent Epstein's private island. At any rate, some things change and some stay the same. Okay, back to this defaced statue. Some pagan converted from this sex cult and used to worship this statue as a focus for their lusts, and they made a conscious break with their former life. They wanted to break the demonic power this cult had in their life and literally cut off the face of the idol. In place of that idol, in place of that demon, they carved the symbol of their salvation, the cross. This was an act of desecration. Yes, yes it was, but it was also an act of devotion to Jesus. And while those in today's culture want you to think that you can and should do whatever you want with whoever you want, whenever you want it, they look at Christianity as well and think this is some sort of weird Handmaid's Tale of sexual repression. However, you must understand that while doing whatever you want with your body and others seems like the most liberating thing possible, those that find freedom from it realize they actually were a slave to that sin. There are countless stories. Another one just came out in the news a few days ago where a person was doing this kind of behavior for money on the internet and realized it was terrible for them, for the others, and for their soul. Then you realize that in Christ, that's where you actually find freedom. Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. This is the way forward, and this weird, faceless statue with a cross carved in it should remind us that the old things we did, the old sins, need to be put in the past and put away so that we can live in the freedom that Christ has set us free. For Church Public, I'm Matt Odegaard. Keep the faith. Well, I hope this was helpful to you. I hope that you can live in a sin-free way following after Christ, the author of our salvation. I hope this was also helpful to you. If it is, send it to a friend, hit the like, subscribe, all those other things. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to seeing you again very soon.